Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Speak to Transform show on the Lisa V TV. Now, today is a sobering day in terms of it's a sobering topic, but I want you to listen up because it's not a time to shrink back, but it is continued time to stand up. Many have thought over the last year and a half that there's been a conspiracy theories being propagated, and that's what the mass media narrative has been pushing. But guess what? When the facts are glaring in your face and in your eyes, you can no longer believe that it's a theory, a conspiracy theory, but it's actually facts, and it's happening right before our eyes on our watch. Now, I want to encourage you today that if you feel like you don't have a voice or that your voice is not strong enough or you don't have a platform that's going to make an impact, if you feel that, then get behind those who do. Get behind those people who are taking a stand, who are letting their voice be heard, who are taking a risk in order to stand up for the freedoms, stand up for the children and grandchildren of the future, and stand up for our freedoms today. If you don't feel like your voice is being heard or that you have a platform to affect change, then get behind those and support those who do. You're going to listen to one such voice today, a woman who is an ER doctor in Ontario who has taken a stand, and today she has a warning. She spoke recently on the weekend in Ontario, warning Canada. And so I want you to listen up. I've been following this doctor for a number of months now. The first time I heard of her was by an audio recording where she had jumped on a Zoom call. There was a board meeting in her area with board members who were decision makers about the health regulations in her area. And she phoned in as an ER doctor and asked them questions. At that time, because of COVID, it wasn't in person, it was over Zoom. And so you could only hear her voice. She identified who she was, her experience, and she asked some questions about some things that they were doing and about the numbers that they were talking about when it came to the virus that's been going around and the decisions that were being made in terms of how best to deal with this. And guess what? They actually couldn't answer her questions. Now, these are the decision makers for the area imposing the health regulations. Why could they not answer her questions? Because they are not on the front lines. They are not the ones who are interacting with the public, with the people, and seeing what's really happening. They are only people who are regurgitating what comes their way. The message that's been given to them from some other person higher up, and they're regurgitating that and making their decisions based on that false information or inaccurate or substandard, because they are not taking the information from the doctors and the healthcare workers, the people who are on the front lines. And so today I want you to listen to this voice, this woman's voice, and the warning that she has for you and I, because for some of you, you've drawn the line at your job or you've drawn the line at some other place. But today is another decision. It's when they're coming for your children, for our children, for our grandchildren. This is no longer about health and safety. This is about control and power. And the sooner you see that, the sooner you will be empowered to stand up and to take a stand and to not shrink back, but to let your voice be heard among the many voices. Because we, the people, have the decision to make. Are we going to watch this happen, or are we going to be a part of the solution? Take to heart what this doctor is saying and ask yourself the question that she poses at the end.
The amazing Dr. Killian.
Thank you, Nicole. So the people that have seen me speak before in some of the other rallies know that I usually don't have a speech. And even if I prepared something, there's usually a couple of things that happens a couple of days before, so I change the theme of my speech. But today, the message is too important for me to just fly by the seat of my pants. I had to get up at 2 o'clock this morning because I couldn't fall asleep. And I had to write down what I knew I had to say here today. And I invite the CTV to report on this, sir. And even if the whole section is not shown, I know there's enough people reporting here today. It will be shown. But before I get to my speech, I'm going to tell you a little story about some children that was sitting here with the previous speaker that spoke to them. Some of those children are my children. And the amazing organizers of these freedom rallies have been so accommodating until now that they know we don't show up at rallies on Saturdays. Our life has been taken over in the fight of this battle. But we always ask them one day to allow us the chance to spend time with our children. During the week, we won't be selfish, but on Saturdays, we keep our Sabbath and we spend it with our Heavenly Father and we spend it with our children. On those days, we do not go to a church. We don't spend it at another institution. We spend it at home. But yesterday, we had to sit our children down, our 6-year-old and our 5-year-old. And we had to tell them that today, on this Sabbath, our Heavenly Father usually gives that day to us. But today He asked us to stand up in obedience and come to Collingwood. And I had to tell my 6-year-old and 5-year-old that my God is asking me, is asking mommy and daddy to come speak to other mommies and daddies out there, to warn them of the bullies that are trying to hurt our children, that are trying to poison our children. And my 5-year-old little Gemini, her first question was, how can she help? My 6-year-old asked me, how quickly are the children going to die? As a medical person, I couldn't answer him. I told him, I don't know. But I can try my best to see that it doesn't happen. And that is why I'm here today. And now I'll get to my speech. I've been given very special attention by the CPSO this last week. So it would be very reasonable to think that I will be speaking about the CPSO today. The CPSO does not deserve my attention today. The CPSO does not deserve your attention today. There's only one group of our population that needs our attention today, and that is our children. And that is the reason I'm here. So I'm not a pediatrician. I'm a family physician and an ER physician. But as a family physician, the pediatric population formed a big part of my practice. But as an ER physician, it is the ER physicians that treats pediatric emergencies, pediatric traumas, pediatric injuries. It is the emergency physicians that runs to the code pinks in our hospitals. Even though every single ER physician knows when you hear a code pink called, everything inside of you wants to run the other way. Because you honestly hope somebody else gets there before you. Because nobody wants the life of a child on their hands. There's something, you don't even have to be a believer or spiritual, that every single healthcare worker, when they're involved with a pediatric case, and that case goes bad, it affects every single person. It doesn't happen with the adults. But every single life of a child that is lost is a tragedy. Sometimes tragedies happen. Sometimes life happens. We can't prevent it. We can deal with it. But in this case, the tragedy that awaits us can be prevented. And it's up to us to prevent that. I can come up here and overwhelm you with factual data, analytical roundtable analysis, and tell you that your child is not at risk of dying of COVID. Analytically and statistically, they're not even at risk of dying with COVID. That has not changed, even though they're trying to convince you otherwise. But I'm not going to do that today. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to quote mainstream media. Let's hear it from their own mouths. So if they want to reiterate what they said already, they'll put me on their mainstream media. I'm going to paint a picture by quoting the entities that are directly responsible for maintaining the narrative that we are currently stuck in, mainstream media. Let us take their word on this topic. And I printed off every single article that I'm going to be reading. It will be at this table for anybody to check. If there's any fact checkers out there. But I did type it to make it easy for me. The first one is going to be an article from the CP24. It is dated August 25, 2021 at 7:38 a.m. Herd immunity no longer possible without vaccinating young children. Public Health Ontario. And I'm going to quote from their own article. Moving to vaccinate those still ineligible, children under the age of 12 is still at least months away. UHN infectious disease specialist Dr. Isaac Bocock is quoted here. We should not rush any science. We have to let the clinical trials be completed so that we can ensure when populations under 12 are vaccinated, we have an excellent safety profile and efficacy of vaccines in that cohort. Incidentally, the only study that has been done on children with this vaccine ends on June 18, 2024. So the CP24 was smart enough to find at least one doctor to speak in that article. But then they moved on later in the article and they allowed a political speaker to speak there. They've been doing that beautifully for 2 years now. So let's hear what their political leader said in that same article. Ontario NDP leader Andrea Horworth said Wednesday, and this is a quote from this article, that the Ford government should immediately prepare a plan to deploy COVID-19 vaccine clinics to schools. So the system is ready to administer shots the moment Health Canada approves one of the vaccines for use in kids under 12. This was August 25, 2021. Then we move forward 2 months, just 2 months. CP24, October 26, 2021, at 3:57 p.m. And the heading says, as Ontario readies to plan to vaccinate younger children, Ford says he understands some parents are hesitant. Premier Doug Ford said the following, so let's do our best and get as many people vaccinated. And I also understand if they don't want to get their five-year-old or their six-year-old vaccinated. Do I want everyone to? 100%. Then they found another doctor to be quoted in this article. Dr. Eileen Davila, Toronto's Medical Officer of Health, was quoted in this article. If you have a child who will become eligible for vaccination in the coming weeks, please get them vaccinated. You are protecting them. You're protecting your family and yourself. And you are protecting grandparents and elders who could become sick and be at risk. As with all COVID-19 vaccines, the department will prioritize the review of the submission while maintaining its high scientific standards for safety, efficacy, and quality, Health Canada stated in the same article. And the line just after that reads like this. Canada has already signed a deal with Pfizer for pediatric doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. So let's move on a little bit later in that day. In fact, actually 19 minutes later, NBC News reported on October 26, 2021, 4:18 p.m., FDA advisory panel okays Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old. And this one I'm going to read from their own piece of paper. FDA advisory panel okays Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11 years. A smaller dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine cleared its first regulatory hurdle Tuesday for use in young children after Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee voted to recommend it for emergency use authorization for those aged 5 to 11. The 17-0 vote with one abstention will now go to the FDA, which is expected to make a final ruling in the coming days. If authorized, the move would make nearly the entire U.S. population eligible for a COVID shot. Only children ages 4 and younger would remain ineligible. Despite the vote in favor, deciding whether the benefits of vaccination for young kids outweigh potential risks appeared to weigh heavily on the advisors. May it weigh heavily on their conscience forever. They stated, this is a much tougher one, I think, than we had expected coming into, said committee member Dr. Eric Rubin, editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. The data show that the vaccine works and it's pretty safe. His own words. We're worried about a side effect that we can't measure yet. His own words. And he referred to a condition called myocarditis. Also at issue was whether the vaccinations were needed at all, given the generally lower risk of COVID to children on October 26, in a NBC article. Let me just get my speech again. So despite the hesitations, the FDA approved Pfizer's EUA for children ages 5 to 11. The following is a quote by one of the voting members, H. Cody Meisner, prior to voting. "We simply don't know what the side effects are going to be." H. Cody Meisner, "I can tell you as an ear physician, what I saw in adults with the same vaccine that you're planning on using in our children. Is it reasonable to presume that we might see the same adverse effects in our children and possibly worse?" Then we move forward a couple of days later, spotted in Whitby on a Durham Transit bus. There we go. Thank you, Ryan. "Kids have strokes too. Know the warning signs." I am still a doctor. The CPSO did not give me my title. So I tell you unequivocally, strokes in kids are not normal. Myocarditis in adults, not even speaking about children, is not normal. Heart attacks in kids are not normal, but they might become the new normal if we allow this to go forward. So now I've kind of had some fame thrown my way because I've asked questions. So I'm going to end my speech today about asking some questions. Do you think the FDA is willing to risk the life of your child? I think we've made it very clear from their own words. Do you think Dr. Tam, Dr. Dinshaw, Dr. Moore, Dr. Henry, Dr. Ian Era is willing to risk the life of your child? It really doesn't matter what they answer. I've got one question for you, for every single parent here today. Are you willing to sacrifice your child? And after you've patiently listened to me today, I'm going to teach you something about the healthcare that I'm personally going to be working on when we get through this. I'm going to teach you the role of a physician and what my role should be. In my 16 years as a physician, I have not told one parent to vaccinate their child. Yes, CTV, quote me. But I have also not told one parent not to vaccinate their child. Because you know what? It wasn't my right to do either. It was my responsibility to give them the information so that they make that decision for themselves. So when you go home today, forget about everything I said. I've got the trust of the public at this moment. Stop putting your trust in people. Put it in yourselves and put it in your Heavenly Father. I do not have the authority to tell you to vaccinate or not vaccinate your child. There is one person only, two people only, that can stand up in protection of their child. And that is the parents. That is where the authority starts and that's where the authority stops. So I'm going to leave you with one more question. Were you willing to rise in protection of your child when they forced them to wear masks? Did you rise in protection of your child when they forced them to isolate? Did you rise in protection of your child when they were taught a new normal of socialization that we still haven't seen the effects of in our children? This is the next battle. Are you willing to rise in protection of your children to stop them from injecting them with an experimental biologic? Nobody can answer that question except you. Thank you.
Here is a doctor, an ER doctor, who is willing to risk her own career by speaking the truth. Why? Because maybe because she is actually seeing what is really happening in the hospitals, what is really happening with people who are getting sick with the virus or who are getting sick because of their false sense of protection from the injection that they're pushing. Now, I'm not against injections. I'm against forced injections. And this is where it's come down to. They started with the elderly. They started with the most vulnerable. And now it's come down to our children. And notice what she said there. They talked about then all that would be left would be the children under the age of 5. Make no mistake, they're not going to stop here. They're not going to stop at this next one. So the question is, are you going to stop them? Are you going to stand up and say, no, enough is enough? Now, it's interesting that she talked about, one of the doctors talked about how in order for us to create this herd immunity, we need to inject these children from ages 5 to 11. Well, what about the reports that have come out of other countries like Norway that have accomplished herd immunity, like Amish community in Pennsylvania, who the whole community got sick at the same time, worked through the flu-like symptoms, and didn't any of them take the injection? Guess what? They all have herd immunity today, and there's nothing wrong with their community. There's nothing, no one has died. They are immune and they're prospering. Why doesn't the government look at these kinds of cases to base their evidence on, to base the results on? Because it's not about your health and safety. People wake up. It's not about your health and safety. It's about control and money. It's about really taking control and conditioning you. I mean, just think about it. When a society is conditioned to be taking injection after injection after injection without question, who's to say one day one of those injections will come that will be a lethal injection? And we just take it in stride because, oh, well, here's another one of those injections that we need in order to create a safe society. Well, I want you to take to heart what's been said today. This is one of many voices that are standing up, that are risking their career, that are risking their lives and their livelihood. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would they do that? And I believe it's because they know the truth. They're not looking at this as a conspiracy. They know that the government is not being truthful with you, not being truthful with us. And it's our time and our turn to stand up and say no, because they're there to serve the people. But right now, they are not serving the people. They are not serving you as you've elected them to. I want to make mention here of a quote that she said. She said, "The tragedy that awaits us can be prevented, and it's up to us to prevent it." The tragedy that awaits us can be prevented, and it's up to us to prevent it. The government would like you to believe that it's a pitting of one group of people who have chosen not to take an injection against those who have taken an injection. And the government wants you to believe that that's where the problem lies. No, that's not where the problem lies. The problem lies with the government who is lying to us, who is lying to us and trying to put blame where blame is not due. The blame is on the fact that they are actually withholding information and they're only feeding information through the paid narrative media, the paid media, because they want you to believe a certain thing. And if you look it up, that is called propaganda. And it's for the purpose of conditioning you into a certain mindset. And so the question for you is that, will you stand? Will you stand and let your voice be heard? Or will you stand and support those who are letting their voice be heard and support them so they know they're not alone? So together we can make a change, but we need you to stand. We need you to take a stand. And now they're coming for the children, for the grandchildren. It's not going to stop there. I want to urge you to take to heart what you've heard today and don't dismiss it. Ask yourself, who can I get behind? If my voice is, if I don't feel like I have a platform or place to speak, or my voice is not going to be heard, if you feel that, even though that may not be true, if you feel that, get behind someone. Get behind a group that is making their voice heard. Decide today who that's going to be and where you're going to take a stand and who you're going to support.